During the month of July, we have endeavored to encourage you concerning the importance of sacred godly music. And with this being our final Sunday for the month of July, I'd like to conclude by sharing some thoughts on the importance of singing and singing to the Lord. And we don't just sing to pass our time. We sing to honour God. And the scriptures are full of examples and instruction concerning the importance of singing unto the Lord. Note here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 22 26, it reads, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the mount of Olives." Let's pray. I pray, O Spirit of God, that you will teach us this morning. Please help us the value of singing unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, we pray. Amen. So why do we sing as Bible-believing Christians? Why is singing so prominent in our worship as opposed to formalism or liturgy that are predominant in some churches like the Roman Catholic Church? The predominance within the Roman Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church is liturgy. This is how you do it. You sit here, you stand up now, you sit down now, this is what you do. So different to the New Testament Church where singing is prominent. So why do we sing? Why do we sing hymns as Christians? Why do we as a Bible-believing church sing hymns? We have a hymn book. The Bible teaches us here at the end of verse 26 that the disciples sung a hymn at the end of the institution of what we refer to as the Lord's table. When they had sung a hymn, verse 26, they went out into the Mount of Olives. They sung a hymn. A hymn is in reference to spiritual music that causes you and I to focus upon all that God is. It's worshipful. It's an aid to worship. We use a hymn book because it has spiritual songs therein that aid us and help us to worship. God rejoices to hear his people sing. There in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, please, verse 17. God rejoices to hear us sing. God rejoices to hear us sing hymns like hymn number 311, which I'm not going to sing to you. We don't have time. God rejoices to hear his people sing hymns like hymn number 11, where it reads there, it's titled, I Love Thee, Lord Jesus. Peace like a river is flooding my soul since Christ the Savior has made my life whole. Sweet peace abiding, my portion shall be. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. I love Thee, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. I love Thee, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart, for dying on Calvary, for giving me victory. I love Thee, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. That's a hymn. That's a beautiful hymn. Note here in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it reads, The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy, note this, he will joy over thee with singing. He will joy over thee with singing. God rejoices to hear us sing our adoration of our God. In Psalm 147, verse 1, it reads, Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. See, music is to ultimately praise God. It's for God's glory. The ultimate purpose of music is to give God his glory. Rightful honor. As Psalm 98 verse 1 reads, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. See, music comes from God and should be directed to God. Music is a spiritual issue, first and foremost. Not a matter of taste, though I understand we can vary a little in our taste when it comes to kinds of music. But that is not the issue. The issue is that music comes from God and it's for God and it's been given to us as a means by which we can honor and worship our God. See, it's interesting to note that within Lucifer's original creation, as a chief or the chief angelic being created by God, God made him with musical instruments within him. According to Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 and 13. He was created not only with great beauty and wisdom, but he had musical instruments within his makeup. That's how God created him. Because this chief cherub had the awesome responsibility and privilege in leading the angelic beings in the worship and adoration of Almighty God. But pride set in. Bible teaches he was cast down to hell. And in his fall, Lucifer became Satan, the devil. And to this day, he uses music to destroy people's lives. See, music is a spiritual issue. A spiritual issue. Now, it's important for us to note that the voice, the ability to sing, is the chief musical instrument given to us all. And that's why it reads there in Psalm 98, please, Psalm 98. Psalm 98, verse 5. Psalm 98, verse 5, it reads, "Sing unto the Lord with a harp." With the harp and the voice of a psalm. So we see here the voice takes preeminence or precedence before the instrument, because the voice is God given. And your voice, my voice, has been given to us not just to rattle off nonsense, but to sing praises to God. The voice is the chief musical instrument given to all of us. That's why Psalm 66:1 reads, "Make a joyful noise." Not a tune. Noise unto the Lord. Take that which God has given to you and sing for God's glory. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't sing." Are you a Christian? My Bible teaches me in Ephesians chapter 5, a mark of a Spirit-filled Christian is they will sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I mean, recently I had a Christian say to me, "I don't sing." I said, "Are you a Christian?" Christians sing. They sing in church. Because they have the witness of the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God is in control of your life, you will sing. We won't need the song leader to say, "Now come on now, let's sing up now." I know we do that, but that's not needful if there is a people that are filled with the Spirit of God. They will, at a given opportunity, lift up their voices and sing. "Okay, we're going to sing now." Spirit-filled Christian. And God has given to you and I the voice. The voice is the chief musical instrument given to all of us so we can praise our God. Make a joyful noise unto God. This little statement is mentioned no less than 7 times. The number of perfection within the Psalms. It's interesting. If you have a voice, you can sing. And that's why God has given you a voice, to sing and to exalt Him with your voice. Look at Psalm 33, please. Psalm 33, the 3rd verse. It reads, "Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." So there is a place for musical instruments that accompany the singing, the declaring of God's grace and goodness. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 21, "And Miriam answered them, 'Sing ye to the Lord, she said, "Sing ye to the Lord." That's who we direct our singing to. To the Lord. The song leader stands before you to lead you and I to sing, not to himself, but to the Lord. And these delightful musicians, the give of their time and their ability to play instruments, aid you and I as we sing to the Lord. Miriam said, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath done, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." I love the hymn 812. A hymn of victory. I heard an old story, how a Saviour came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. O victory in Jesus, my Saviour forever. He bought me, he sought me, he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. So when you think about those words and you sing those words, Almighty God, that glorifies God. That's all about God. Sing. Sing as unto the Lord. Sing all. We are all to sing. We should sing not half-heartedly, we should sing fully. Give it your best shot. We sing in unison. And as we sing these beautiful hymns, we need to be thinking about the words. Thinking about the words. We need to sing in God's direction. We direct our singing to God, and we direct our singing to the Lord in worship to him. Sing. Sing. The voice is that chief musical instrument given to all of us. We need to value the importance of singing to the Lord. See, singing hymns, singing spiritual songs, glorifies God. It gives him glory. Note there in Exodus chapter 15, please. Exodus chapter 15. Now the context that we are emphasizing, the importance of you and I singing to the Lord, is not in the context of performance. We're talking about worship, how you and I can collectively, corporately worship God together. As opposed to having a bunch of young yahoos at the front here, in tight jeans and a drum kit, swaying their hips from side to side, leading us in worship. That's not worship, that's worldliness. Nothing worshipful about that. Worship is when you and I collectively lift up our voices to God. That's worship. That's worship. Yes, there is a place for music presentations, and we have music presentations, but that's not what we're referring to here. We're referring to the importance of you and I collectively lifting up our voices to the Lord. It gives Him glory. Note there in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. For He hath triumphant, gloriously, the horse and the rider hath He thrown into the sea. Look at verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare Him a habitation. My Father's God. I will exalt Him. And that's the key little phrase there. I will exalt Him. We can exalt God in song. As Revelation 15:3 reads, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. Singing spiritual songs glorifies God. As we lift up our voices and we sing, we glorify our God. I will exalt Him. I think of hymn number 163. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, O sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and set me free. That exalts the Lord. That exalts our God. So using our voices to sing spiritual songs, to sing hymns, glorifies God. And also spiritual songs, singing spiritual songs, a hymn, can also be a means of strength, instruction, direction for spiritual battle. We see that exemplified there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, please. Second Chronicles chapter 20, we read within this chapter, we have the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the people of Mount Seir that have joined together to battle against the tribe of Judah. And here in chapter 20, verse 13, it reads, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And God said to them in verse 15, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Then in verse number 17, once again God gives them the assurance. No need to be afraid, don't be dismayed. This is not your battle, it's my battle. Then note what happens in verse 21 and 22 of 2 Chronicles 20. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers They're being attacked by the Ammonites and the Moabites, people of Mount Seir, so he appoints some singers. He appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. So God tells the people of God, send out a bunch of people to sing as you go to battle. Praise the Lord. This is what you're to sing. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And note verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So God's people did not have to lay a hand on the Ammonites or the Moabites or the people of Mount Seir. God took care of them. They ended up just turning on one another. But all that God's people did, they went into battle singing God's praises. See, singing God's praises will strengthen you for spiritual battle. Singing God's praises will instruct you and direct you in the midst of spiritual battle. God used music to help the people of God to focus upon their God, and God took care of the enemy. I think of hymn number 45. Beautiful hymn. Hymn number 45. You're welcome to look up the words in your hymn book. You've got the same hymn book as me. Beautiful hymn. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Beautiful, beautiful hymn. So the singing of spiritual songs, hymns, will strengthen us, provide direction, instruction, and ultimately gain us victory. The singing of spiritual hymns encourage, do they not? I think of Paul and Silas there in that jail in Philippi. The Bible teaches us they prayed and sang praises, offered praises to God. And because they were encouraged in spirit, it ultimately led to the salvation of the jailer and his family, and the establishment of the New Testament church there in Philippi. So these hymns that we sing, beloved, may God help us not to take them for granted. These hymns that you see within that hymn book you have, for example, they were born out of revival, evangelistic outreaches. They bear testimonies of how God worked in the lives of individuals. In the midst of persecution, the highs, the lows of life. That's the background to these hymns on the whole. An example of that would be that beautiful hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," written by a man that lost his four daughters at sea. H.G. Spafford. Lost his four daughters at sea, and he directed his heart and worship to God and said, "It is well with my soul." Charles Wesley was one of 19 children born to Susanna Wesley. And God used John and Charles Wesley in a mighty way to the salvation of many souls and the revival of God's work throughout the United Kingdom and beyond. Charles Wesley wrote no less than 6,500 hymns. He wrote the familiar Christmas carol, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King." And he wrote that only within a year of his conversion. Not even a year old as a Christian, he wrote that beautiful hymn, which is apparently one of the top four hymns ever. Amazing Grace is number one, of course. Of course. No competition. But "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" is in the top four of God's charts. Don't worry about the world's charts. See, hymns can encourage us. When God gloriously saved John Newton, that nasty slave trader, God gloriously saved him. He testified of the working of God in his life by writing that beautiful hymn, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me." And boy, he was a wretch. He was the pits. John Newton. He was horrible, as you ladies would say. Horrible. With a capital H. And God reached down in that sewer pit of John Newton and saved him by his grace. Joseph Scriven wrote the words to "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," hymn number 317. Joseph Scriven, whose fiancée died at sea only days before the wedding. "What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Alfred Ackley was challenged by a sincere young Jewish student at an evangelistic meeting concerning his faith. And in answer to this questioning concerning the reality and the basis of his faith, he wrote the words to hymn number 377, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. A long life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Amen. Oh, we could go on and on. The singing of spiritual hymns encourage. The singing of spiritual hymns glorify God. The singing of spiritual hymns, spiritual songs can strengthen us, instruct us, direct us in the midst of battle. The singing of spiritual hymns unite us. Note there 1 Chronicles chapter 6, please. First Chronicles chapter 6. As we sing together, we can be united. We lift up our voices. We lift up our voices in one direction, which is the Lord. It unites. 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, it reads, "And these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord. After that the ark had rest, and they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing. Unto Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and then they waited on their office according to their order." It's been well said, a church that prays together stays together. I'd like to also submit to you, a church that sings together stays together. See, singing spiritual songs unite. Singing spiritual songs encourage. Singing spiritual songs will strengthen us for battle. Of course, singing spiritual songs glorify God, because singing spiritual songs not only prepare us for worship, they enable us to worship. There'll be no music in hell. There'll be no music in hell, but there'll be music in heaven. We read that this morning. We cannot possibly conceive heaven without music. I can't conceive heaven without singing God's praises. Can you? What about your life? What about my life? Is music and is spiritual music a definite part of my life and your life? In Revelation 14:3, they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. In Revelation 15:3. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Heaven will be full of music. Sacred music. Only sacred music. Not this nonsense called Christian contemporary music. Now I'm talking about sacred music. Holy music. That is God-focused, not people-centered. Hymn number 9. Let's turn to hymn number 9. Mike, I'm going to pick on your son. Come here. Lead us in this hymn, please. No music, voices. All verses. Micah's going to lead us. Think about the words in number 9.
Holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Micah. Thank you for singing so beautifully. What a beautiful hymn. By the way, a hymn written by Charles Wesley. Good theology. Holy, holy, holy. Merciful and mighty. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. The God-given chief musical instrument is your voice. It's the voice. God has given you a voice to glorify Him. The disciples sang. Do we sing as unto the Lord? It is a vital link to effective worship, to sing to the Lord. We can all sing. Not only when we're in church, that is, if we're spirit-filled, we can all sing. Some of you, God has gifted you with an extra special voice. You could use your voice to bring greater glory to God by being involved in a ministry such as the choir and lead God's people in worship. So your ability to speak is your ability to sing God's praises. Let's not take that for granted. So the next time you have an opportunity to sing, sing all. Sing fully. Let's sing in unison. Let's think about the words. Let's direct our singing to the Lord. In worship to Him. Let's stand and we'll close with hymn number 311. Thomas, can I get you to come and lead us in this hymn?